Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text before us is the gospel lesson you heard a moment ago, but before we do that, let me say Happy Mother's Day to you again. Especially, I hope that if you're a mom, that you had some of your family with you this weekend and you could spend some time together. I have great memories of my own mom, and I remember Mother's Day when I was a child. I'll share this with you. My father was a nurseryman. He could grow anything, and he grew the most beautiful roses. And outside our yard, there was some beautiful rose bushes that he kept with manure and kept them fed really well and everything. And every year, it would produce flowers, and he planted some white roses, and he planted some red roses. And on this one year, one Sunday of the year, he would trim them. And the custom was he took them to church so that if your mother was living, you got a red rose on your lapel. But if your mother had been sainted, you would get a white one. Is there anyone here had any of that kind of a custom when you were younger? You do remember that. So several of you do remember that. It was a wonderful occasion. And Mother's Day is the time, of course, that we remember our moms. And in my case, I was glad to have a mom that cared for me and brought me to the faith. I know without her, I would not have been a pastor today. Do you know I even keep her name tag? Of all these years, she's been sainted now for about 6 years. But nevertheless, I keep her name tag as a reminder to me because she taught me my catechism. Now, Amy was very smart in catechism, and she was able to memorize the catechism just like a snap. She was really good at it. But I wasn't very good at memorizing the catechism. Do any of you remember memorizing the catechism? Let's see your hand. You memorized the catechism. Some of you had to do it in German. I barely can speak English. Oh, my goodness. But Mother would sit down and she would ask me the questions over and over and over again. And today I'm going to mention a couple of things that she reminded me. And one other thing that she did that I would encourage you to do with your children and grandchildren is to teach them Luther's morning prayer. Because I was not allowed to go to school in the morning until I prayed with Mother the Luther's morning prayer. How many of you learned Luther's morning prayer by memory? Right. I thank thee, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that you kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you'll keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body, my soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. And of course, Mama, in saying that, assumed that I was going to behave myself in school that day. I think that was part of her motivation. But bless her heart, she did. And when we find that in our scriptures, when a person can say, Jesus Christ is Lord, they in fact have the fundamental of the Christian faith. I remember Professor Scare in one of our classes said, if a youngster knows Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, that child knows enough to have eternal salvation. It is the gift of God that is given to that child. And how many of us can remember that? Jesus loves me, this I know. It's the most fundamental of the Christian faith. In the second article of the Apostles' Creed, and we'll recite together the Apostles' Creed in a minute, Luther put a little definition on that second article when he says, I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And once you know that, You also are saying, not only do I believe Jesus Christ is true God and true man, but I'm also believing that the works that he does also tell me about who he is. So those two things go together. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is God, and that he does the works. Now, how can he do the works? What kind of works? Well, he goes on to say, he redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and the power of the devil. As Peter said, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. So it's impossible to say I believe in Jesus and not also acknowledge that the works Jesus does is in response to him being the Messiah, the very Son of God. When someone was deaf, he gave them hearing. When they could not see, he gave them sight. When they could not walk, he gave them the ability to run and leap like a deer. All of these things, today if he would walk among us, he would be an MD Anderson hospital right here in our midst. He would touch us and heal us from all of our diseases. So when Jesus asked, now the disciples have seen all these works, and he asked his disciples, who do the people say I am? And well, they say, well, a prophet, one of the guys, you know, that do all these wonderful things. And then he said, who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up for the 12 disciples. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter something very strange. He said, Simon, Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. Today in our gospel release lesson, Jesus is saying, I and my Father are one. So he does the work that the Father in heaven had determined for him to do. And remember, he's a Godhead too. Jesus is equal to the Father and equal to the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all equal, co-eternal. That we've learned, and we'll hear it again on Trinity Sunday again. I and my Father are one. Whatever the Father work is to do, I'm doing it. I am that. So the Jews in our lesson today, they said, why don't you just tell us you're Jesus or not? Are you the Messiah or not? And Jesus doesn't really answer that question. He doesn't just say, well, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. He doesn't do that. He says instead, I told you and you do not believe me. I told you and you do not believe me. He healed the sick, healed the lame. When John the Baptist was thrown into prison, he sent his disciples. He knew death was coming on him pretty soon. And he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the Christ? Or is there someone else that we're waiting on? And Jesus said, you go tell John what you see. The lame walk. The deaf speak. The blind can now see. And we have sins forgiven. And the dead are raised. In our Bible class in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about that very thing, is because in our society today, I don't believe people fully understand that. That whole idea that there is life after death. You see, when we say that Jesus destroyed death and the devil, what we forget is he really does destroy death. And just as Christ is risen again by the glory of the Father, so also we too will walk in newness of life. We sinners need God's mercy, do we not? And God reveals that mercy to us in Christ Jesus. Sin is conquered. Death is conquered. The power of Satan, conquered. But not by clever dealings. But the Holy Scriptures teach us that Jesus accomplished this by being obedient to the Father and to the Godhead. And then he gives this beautiful promise even to the youngsters at the water of holy baptism. And even though most of us cannot remember the water of holy baptism on our heads, the fact is that some pastor spoke those words to us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and baptized you. You know you have those promises that God gives to you. We say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me. Purchased and won me. You're not free. Jesus had to buy you and buy you back. I remember when I was a youngster, I remember hearing the story, and I tell it in, a lot of times in confirmation class. Amy probably heard me tell it before. But the reality is I remember the boy who had a little boat, and he built that boat out of a kit. And he built that, and it seemed like it was up near the Pigeon River in Tennessee. And he had built that boat, and he was proud of it. He painted it and decorated it up beautifully and set it to sail in the little Pigeon River, but the Pigeon River got ahead of him. And he lost that boat, and it went on downstream, and he couldn't catch it anymore. It went on down. Several weeks later, he happened to be going through the town of Gatlinburg. Anybody been to Gatlinburg? Yeah, he was going through the city of Gatlinburg there, and in the window, he saw his boat, but it had a price tag on it. And he went in and says, I want it. So he had to save his allowance in order to buy back his boat. Jesus created you. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit gave you life. The Spirit gave you breath that you have and that you live. And yet it was necessary for Jesus to come and die on the cross in order to buy you back. To redeem you, you are already given over to the evil of the world, but not by Jesus. He's not going to let you go. He bought you back. He has redeemed you, a lost and condemned creature. That's what the Good Shepherd does. He lays down his life for the sheep. He takes care of his sheep. By the way, I understand I had a lady in our congregation in Grand Rapids, I can't remember, who was raising sheep. She said that the dumbest animal is that. Do y'all know about that? Anybody here ever raised a sheep? Okay, I'm glad to see nobody of sheep herders here. For cattle rustling, you know, they don't like the sheep herders. Okay. But they're dumb animals. And you can take them, but you have to show them where the still water is. You show them where the pasture is, where they can graze. And then with his staff, he comforts his flock and protects them from the wolf that would try to kill them. There is a word I wanted to use, two words I wanted to use to you, and they're Latin words. And the word is sedes, S-E-D-E-S. And the second word is doctrinae, sedes, doctrinae. Sedes is the seat. It's called a seat. Doctrinae is the teaching. Now, those two words together, I wanted to let you know that right here in this scripture, we have the chief doctrine of election. What is election? That God has called you from wherever you are and has chosen you. By the way, that's what the word ecclesiastic comes from. Ecclesiastical is church. He calls us and gathers us from all over the world to be his own and to be his flock and to live under him in his kingdom. And in our book of Concord, we learned that this is the most important thing, and that is to the elect, his children. He promises to them everlasting life. And that's not just dying and being with Jesus in heaven. It means the resurrection to life everlasting. That's what the sheep can look forward to. An eternity with the Savior, where he takes care forevermore. And he does it by the cross. Pays for our sins. Redeems us. And buys us back. We are the elect. We are the ones that God has chosen to be his own and to live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. How do you know you're a sheep, by the way? Did you hear verse 27 in our gospel? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Many years ago, when I was in the seminary, about 35 years ago, Dr. Howard Tepker was one of my professors, marvelous human being, a marvelous pastor, and a marvelous professor. Dr. Tepker told me and told the class of pastors, we're all learning to be pastors. We don't know what we're doing, but we're trying to learn, right? Congregations teach us to be pastors, and that's what y'all do. You teach pastors to be pastors. And he told us at one time he went up to the hospital to visit one of the members of his congregation at the time. And the member was sick and dying. And when Dr. Tepker, or Pastor Tepker at that time, went into the room to visit with him, the man cursed him. Told him, get out of here. I don't ever want to see you again. And Pastor Tepker left. The man died. And the wife said to Pastor Tepker, I know you're not going to do my husband's funeral now because he treated you so poorly. He said, absolutely, I'm doing that funeral. Of course I am. For I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he used this Bible passage. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Satan can't take you away. Your neighbors can't take you away. You can't take yourself away, because Jesus said, no one snatched them out of my hands. You see, my sheep listen to me. They hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Would you speak with me?